You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile. Of that being said, I'm your host, James Masuda, a.k.a. Paul McFartney, a.k.a. Paul Blart, Mall Chopped and Screwed.
S.S. Paul McCartney, the lawyers couldn't stop me.
And this is episode 228. On today's show, we're going to talk about the partially sung heroics of Courtney Lee. I wouldn't say he's fully unsung, but he's not fully sung either. And we should do a little more singing about him. We're going to do that today. Then, we're going to talk about Kyle O'Quinn, professional bar mitzvah attender. And finally, we'll look ahead to Thursday's matchup against the vile and loathsome Boston Celtics. Let's start the show.
Yes!
Let's talk about Courtney Lee. Let's talk about Courtney Lee. Let's talk about all the good things, only good things, Courtney Lee. Let's talk about Lee. Courtney Lee, he's been criminally underrepresented on this podcast. Criminally. Lock me up. Lock me up. Like, I'm always like, oh yeah, and another great game for Courtney Lee. And when you think about it, you can't really blame me because he's easy to overlook. He's not especially flashy, although he is capable of an acrobatic drive to the hoop, or two, maybe even three if you're getting crazy. But he's not especially flashy. His career numbers aren't especially gaudy. And he's got a reputation for a few things. He's got a reputation for A, playing solid, if unspectacular, defense. He's got a reputation for B, moving well off the ball. He's got a reputation for C, keeping the ball moving on offense, not being a ball hog, a willing passer. He's got a reputation for D, not having necessarily the tightest handle, but a passable handle. He's got a reputation for E, shooting the ball well from downtown, but not super frequently. He's got a reputation for F, having a funky-looking shot that looks like it shouldn't go in, but does. He's got a reputation for G, not having a lot of tattoos. And he's got a reputation for H. I wasn't planning on doing that weird, like, Guido reputation thing, but then I started it and couldn't stop, so that's why I was laughing. And finally, he's got a reputation for H, being fairly quiet. Like, not being, like, a shit starter. You know what I'm saying? Even though he really does bitch quite a bit about missed fouls. And it's a little bit annoying from a veteran leader. But I'm picking nits. But you put all those things together, that A through H list that I just read aloud, and we got a glue guy. That's what you got. Put it together and what do you got? Bibbidi bobbidi glue guy. I've decided to turn into Andrew Dice Clay, basically, in this episode. So yeah, he's a glue guy. He's a hustle guy. Not the kind of guy who inspires poets, right? I haven't seen Ode on a Courtney Lee yet. Although it may be out there. Now, stop me if you heard this one before. That being said, in many ways, Courtney Lee is having the best year of his career. And I want to give him his own special shout-out. His own special little shout-out. So let's break down some facts and figures about our own Courtney Lee. Let's own him. Well, no, that didn't come out right at all. You know what I mean. Own having love for Courtney Lee. He's a basketball vagabond. He's been on quite a few teams. He's home now. He's ours. All right, I want you to embrace him. He's averaging 32.1 minutes per game. The second highest minutes per game total of his career. Second only to 2009-10. That was his second year in the league when he averaged 33.5. So he's putting in work. All right, he's out there. Every night putting in work. He's averaging a career high 13.1 points per game. He's played a lot of minutes, but if you do per 36, that's 14.7 per 36. Also a career high. The best scoring rate by volume of his career. He is converting, or he's attaining, he's making 116.4 points per 100 shot attempts. So that's 80th percentile for wing players. So that's pretty good. And he's shooting really well from downtown. We've talked about this a bunch. 43.1%. That's 89th percentile for wing players. He's shooting unbelievably well from the free throw line. I mentioned this the other day. 96.2%. That's 100th percentile for wings. I'm pretty sure that's as good as it gets. I haven't crunched all of the numbers yet. I've still got a couple guys working on this, but I think this is as good as it gets. That's the best mark of his career. And like we said the other night, he has only missed 3 free throws on the season. This mother effa is 51 of 54 on the season. That's really good. Which makes it all more mind-boggling that he seems to lose a stroke on the road. I don't know. His effective field goal percentage is 54.5%, which is, you know, only 71st percentile. But that's not, like, bad, you know, for his contract, which we'll talk about in a little bit. That's not bad. That's adequate. And it's partially because, much like the rest of the Knicks, he's shooting a few too many mid-range shots. Something we'd like to see addressed. 33% of his shots come from 3. That may sound like a lot, but it's only 26th percentile for wings. Wings shoot 3s in this league. This League of Oz. 43% of his shots come in mid-range, which is 83rd percentile for wings. So the higher, the worse in this case. So not great. Only 23% of his shots come at the rim, which is actually like kind of average-ish. He's getting to the rim okay-ish. That's 47th percentile. Not good, but you know, not the worst. But it tracks with what we said earlier. Excellent three-point shooter, but he doesn't have a ton of volume from there. So he's not really cashing in on that gift as much as some play. I'm not saying he should, because maybe this is the limits of his ability, but you know, as some other better players. So he doesn't score as much as you'd think with his skills. It also tracks with his unspectacular drives to the hoop, which I mentioned. It's not a huge staple of his game, although he is capable. He can do it. It's too bad because he finishes well at the rim without contact. Overall, at the rim, he's 69%. Hashtag nice. That's 82nd percentile for wings. Doesn't finish fantastically through contact, though. He gets the and one on 9.5% of the fouls he draws. So 9.5% of the time he's drawn a foul, he hits the bucket, which is only 16th percentile for wings. It's a low conversion rate for someone who could be, you know, very adept at slashing. He also doesn't draw a lot of non-shooting fouls. This is an interesting stat. On only 0.3% of his possessions does he draw a non-shooting foul, which no one draws a ton of those, but that's 5th percentile for wings. So what that tells me is that he's not blowing by guys. He doesn't have that kind of speed, right? Where guys don't know what to do with him and they're reaching out and they're hacking him. But let's get back to the good stuff. You know, he moves the ball well. Like we said, he's got a career-high 2.7 assists per game. A career-high assist rate of 12.3%. So that means he's assisting on 12.3% of his teammates' made shots while he's on the court. And that's 68th percentile for wings. You know, he's in there. He's keeping the ball moving. He's protecting the ball reasonably well. Turnovers on 10.2% of the possessions he uses, which is 66th percentile. Would like to see him, just like everyone else, cut down on that just a bit, especially since he doesn't drive that often. However, you know, he's got a usage rate that makes sense for these numbers, for like the low like overall points of 13. He's got a 17.2% usage rate. 56th percentile for wing players. But it's also the highest of his career, and he's doing a good job. He's playing efficiently while playing at the highest usage rate of his career. The offense, in general, performs well with Courtney Lee out there. 1.7 more points per 100 possessions are scored with Courtney Lee on the court. The Knicks as a whole, their shooting is a little bit better with Courtney Lee on versus off. Their effective field goal percentage is 1.7 percentage points higher with Courtney Lee on the court. Their turnovers go down 1.2% because they're playing smooth. They're playing as a unit. And then in the half court, they're much better with Courtney Lee than without him. They score 6.6 more points per 100 half-court possessions with Courtney Lee on versus than off. All a testament to him moving the ball well, cutting, off the ball. Advanced stats like Courtney Lee this year compared to the rest of his career. He's got 0.122 win shares per 48. That's the highest of his career. And he's got a career-high 14.8 PER, which is just about average, right? A lot of what we're seeing is that Courtney Lee's just about average, but you need to have a couple people who are just about average on your team. It's better than being below average, you know what I'm saying? Defense, hustle, rebounding. He's got a steal rate of 1.9%. He's grabbing a steal on 1.9% of the defensive possessions that he is on the court, which is 75th percentile. For wings, that's pretty good. He's got a career-high 1.4 steals per game. Courtney Lee is active in the passing lanes, active with his hands. But he's staying out of foul trouble. He's only fouling on 2% of defensive plays when he's out there, which is 94th percentile for a wing. That's like boring efficiency, but it's important. It's not flashy, but those things add up. When he's out there, that's one more guy who's not fouling, and the Knicks play better because of it. I want to talk about what the Knicks should do with Courtney Lee, but first, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. It's not. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day, son. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever the hell you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LONICS. That's right. Playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LONICS. But it gets even... I know you're like, that's as good as it gets. Nope, it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Knicks listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LONICKS. Here's what I want to do with Courtney Lee. I don't want to trade him. I'll tell you why. Let's look at his contract. It's pretty good. $11 million this year. $12 million the next. $12 after that. Not a lot of money against the cap. He's 32 this year. He'll be 33. Then he'll be 34. So some people may say, all right, that's a lot of money for someone that age. However, he's only played in 19,000 minutes. Contrast that with Carmelo Anthony, who's played in 36,000 minutes, right? We see that he's fallen off a cliff, right? Like Wile E. Coyote, right? Courtney Lee, only 19,000 minutes. So yeah, he'll be 34, but he's not like a ragged 34, right? Veteran leadership is another reason I want to keep Courtney Lee. It's like a corny phrase. We say it almost means nothing. But you do need it on every team, even and especially a rebuilding team. Otherwise, it's Lord of the Flies out there. And like suddenly they're beating each other up for the conch and rolling a boulder onto Ray Felton's head. You need people around to show them how to be pros. You know, mentors who are their same-ish age. And then as the team gets good, you still need that veteran presence. You know, for you youngins out there who maybe aren't used to the, or don't remember the 90s, I should say. You're probably used to the 90s via the nonstop wave of 90s nostalgia that we're currently experiencing. But look back to 2012-13, last time the Knicks were really good. You had Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, Pablo Prigioni, Kurt Thomas, all valuable contributors and valuable veteran mentors. Courtney Lee can and should be one of those guys. Like I said above, he's not blowing like your socks off, but he has some valuable on-court contributions. He plays a lot of minutes, uses a decent amount of possessions, and is fairly efficient. Right? Like, so you need people to eat up minutes. He's a minutes eater. He's like a good starting pitcher. That's not exactly right. Don't fact check me on that. But it's right-ish. You know, like, the vibe is basically right. Continuity is another reason I want to keep Courtney Lee. Keeping guys familiar with the system is valuable. Switching guys up every year is not. We've seen this in the past with the Knicks. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about it. And lastly, what are you getting for him? Like a second-round pick that you hope turns into Manu Ginobili? I'm not in favor of getting rid of a solid veteran on a reasonable contract for like a swing-for-the-fences second-rounder because like we're pissed that we're missing out on Doncic, so we're going to like now, you know, trade Courtney Lee and hope a second-rounder becomes a superstar. I mean, like, my opinion could change if something surprises me that's out there. That's the one caveat. But based on what I think is out there, what's available for Courtney Lee, I think he's better off finishing up his contract with the Knicks. And that is what I would like to see. I want to talk about Kyle O'Quinn, the Bar Mitzvah King. A delightful article from friend of the show, Ian Begley, was published on Tuesday, and it shed some light on a little moonlighting that Kyle O'Quinn's been doing. Apparently, he is available for hire, for some kashish, to attend bar and bat mitzvahs, and has been doing so with some degree of regularity. Here's a quote from Kyle O'Quinn. The parties are crazy. I did one, did two, and the next thing you know, I was just bar mitzvah man. A lot of times I go and I stay longer than I'm supposed to because it's so much fun. The food's always good. The only thing that gets a little overwhelming is the kids. Hey, I feel you, Courtney Lee. Kids are annoying as shit. Sometimes they don't listen to the structure of the party and it just gets loose, I bet. And the parents kind of leave it like, Kyle, you deal with it. Because they're spoiled rich parents who, you know, don't look after the kids. And it's kids saying, selfie, 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 Snapchat. What's your Snapchat? But once you get that out of the way, it's fun. We learned from the article that somehow he didn't attend any bar or bat mitzvahs while growing up in Queens. I'm not saying that everyone, by the way, who has a bar or bat mitzvah is a spoiled rich person. But ones that they're hiring Kyle O'Quinn to attend, absolutely. Anyway, back to the story. So this whole thing started when he went to his agent's kid's bat mitzvah. He had a great time in his agent's kid's bat mitzvah. And his agent started setting him up with bar and bat mitzvahs. He, like, smelled an opportunity to, you know, get Kyle some spare money. And he took it. And what Kyle does is he comes in after the religious part is over. So he's not up there on, like, a yarmulke making a mockery of the thing. You know, singing Baruch Atah Adonai. He comes in after the religious part is over, and he's just Kyle O'Quinn, and everyone loves him. More quotes. They see how much I enjoy it, and they let me rock out. The parents are partying with the kids, and it's a big festival. They're letting loose, having a good time, and the kids are having a good time. Honestly, it's really nice to be a part of their culture and be down with them. Such a charming quote from Kyle O'Quinn. And it is nice to be involved in other people's cultures. Makes you feel like you're a part of the rich fabric of humanity. It's always nice to be let in on another holiday that you don't typically celebrate. Kyle, if you're listening, actually, I can get you hooked into the Gavone wedding circuit. For those of you listeners who may not be from the tri-state area and don't know what Gavone means, that's it's a racist term for a trashy Italian that we can use because it's ours, but you cannot because my culture is not your costume. Anyway, that's the most comparable thing that I can think of to a bar or bat mitzvah, of which I've been to many of, like at least 10. But yeah, a Gavone wedding, like they're big, they're showy, they're gaudy, people going wild, spending all their savings. So Kyle, if you're listening, I know a bunch of Italians, they throw a bunch of big splashy cheese ball weddings. I can get you hooked up. You can get a nice little fee. Reach out, lock.nicks@gmail.com. We'll work something out, all right? I want to talk about Kyle's on-court performance. But first, I just want to tell you guys that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That network has a show for every NBA team and every NFL team. If you like any other team in any of those sports, check it out. Locked On Giants is great. If you're a Knicks fan, you probably like the Giants. Check out Locked On Giants today. So Kyle, he's an unsung hero on this show a little bit, but that's also partially because he's so infuriating. Here's a great example, if I do say so myself. He's got a 17.2 assist percentage. 17.2% of his teammates' made shots are assisted by him when he's on the court. If you're wondering, James, what percentile is that? I can't contextualize this without a percentile. I'm going to tell you. It's 90th percentile for a big. His 17.2% assist percentage. It's fantastic. You guys have seen it. He's got good vision. he can make crazy passes. However, the flip side is that he can make crazy passes, and he has a turnover rate of 23.1. 23% of the time Kyle O'Quinn uses a possession, he turns the ball over. So, for every three times he does some combination of shooting and getting an assist, for every three times he does that, mind you, not all those shots go in, all right? So, for every three times he either shoots or gets an assist, there's one time that he's getting a turnover. Those are the three ways you can use a possession. So, 23% of the time he uses a possession, he's turning the ball over. That's sixth percentile for bigs. His assist percentage is 90th percentile for bigs. His turnover percentage is 6th percentile for bigs. So truly, Kyle O'Quinn giveth and taketh away. But that doesn't tell the full story of Kyle O'Quinn. Of course, it can't. So hashtag that being said, he's averaging a career high 6.5 points. You know, a career high 2 assists. But 1.6 turnovers. Okay. And a career-high 4.4 rebounds. Those are all low numbers, but it's in only 16.6 minutes per game. If you extrapolate that out to per 36, that's 14 points, 13 rebounds, and 4.4 assists per 36 minutes. Very nice per 36 minutes for your backup center. He's scoring efficiently. He's picking his shots wisely. He's getting 0.124 points per shot attempt. So for every 100 shot attempts, he's scoring 124 points. That's 72nd percentile for bigs. Not outrageously good, but reasonably efficient. Unlike Courtney Lee, Kyle O'Quinn is good at finishing through contact. He gets the and-one on 36% of the shooting fouls he draws. So 36% of the time he's fouled, he hits the basket, which is 81st percentile for bigs, a position known to beast their way to the basket through contact. It's a nice job there. His blocking rate, he doesn't get a lot of blocks, he's only playing 16.6 minutes per game, but his blocking rate is 3.3%. So 3.3% of the opposing team's shot attempts are blocked while he's on the court, which is 87th percentile for bigs. We're getting some nice rim protection from Kyle O'Quinn. And when you look at how the Knicks perform as a whole with him on versus off, he's got a much higher impact than Courtney Lee by the numbers. These numbers, like, there's so much noise when you talk about on-off numbers. But just looking at them, he's got a way bigger impact than Courtney Lee. The Knicks' efficiency differential is 8.7 points per 100 possessions better with Kyle O'Quinn on the court. So efficiency differential is, you know, points scored per 100 minus points allowed per 100, the differential. They're 8.7 points better in their differential when Kyle O'Quinn is on the court than when he's off. To put it another way, we've heard a number like this for Porzingis before. The Knicks play like a 55-win team when Kyle O'Quinn is on the court, and a 33-win team when he's off the court, and that's based on their efficiency differentials on and off. So, like, on some level, he's got that secret sauce, you know? Another way you see that sauce, their half-court offense is 2.8 points per 100 possessions better with Kyle O'Quinn on the court than off. And it may be his willingness to pass, you know? We talked about assists versus turnovers, and that tells part of the story of passing, but when you're passing a lot, there's a lot of passes that don't get recorded as assists. They get recorded as passes. I'm sure I could look up that number somewhere, but I'd be interested to see people's pass to turnover ratio. That's another way of looking at it that, like, helps contextualize it, that you're missing with just assist to turnover. Because lots of passes aren't supposed to be assists. They're just supposed to keep the ball moving. And so if you're keeping the ball moving, that's good for your half-court offense rather than running a bunch of isolations. And that's perhaps another way that Kyle O'Quinn is contributing. So wanted to give him some props there. I want to look ahead to Thursday. The Knicks are at home on Thursday against the hated Boston Celtics. The vile, the disgusting, the pathetic, just gross Boston Celtics. Coming into the game, like we talked about a couple podcasts ago, Aaron Baines is the number one Boston Celtic on our enemies list. But in reality, every Celtic is tied for first. So feel free to hate any one of them. You know, I picked Aaron Baines, like, on any other day, it could be anyone else, you know. But let's talk about the Celtics for a little bit, outside of how hateable they are. They're fourth in the league in efficiency differential. Can you guys tell I like that stat? At plus 5.4 per game. They're fourth in the league. They've got the 11th ranked offense at 107.9 points per 100. Part of that is they've got a good half-court offense. They're 7th in half-court offense at 94.6 points per 100. So, you know, decent on offense, but they've got the top-rated defense in the league at 102.5 points allowed per 100. Top-rated defense. They keep teams to the third lowest effective field goal percentage, 49.7%. And they're the best in defending transition in the league. They're giving up 109.9 points per 100 transition plays. Transition plays are super efficient by their nature, so that's an impressive number. Not going to lie, guys, it's going to be a tough one. There are some positives. The Knicks will be at home. Kristaps will be back. The Celtics, they've won three of their last four, but they will be coming off the second night of a back-to-back, or they'll be in the second night of a back-to-back. They're at home against the Heat on Wednesday, and then they're at the Garden against the Knicks on Thursday. So those are positives. But the Celtics are, let's be honest, at this point, way better than the Knicks, and they should mop the floor with them. Timmy won't be back, and this is hurting. Crispy will be rusty, probably. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Knicks somehow won, but I do not expect it. I don't think you should either. I bet if you ran a simulation, you know, the Knicks would win, like, less than 10% of the time. I was trying to find a good, like, simulation running place, so if you guys know a good one, let me know. But, yeah, you know, you play this game 100 times, the Knicks will win a couple of them, so it's not, like, the most unbelievable thing if they somehow win, but I'm not expecting it. All right, that's my expert prediction for the game. And that's it for this episode of Locked On Knicks. If you got a moment, rate us on iTunes, 5 stars, a sentence about how angelic my voice is, that'll be just fine. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnKnicks, also at NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other and join us tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks. Peace!